Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is serial killer Joseph Paul Franklin. Three names, Brandy.
Oh, it's never good.
Yeah, I know.
Never good.
I have three names, though. Don't you? You have birth three names.
I do have three names, but nobody calls me by my three names.
Well, you have to be a serial killer before they start doing it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that the prerequisite?
Yeah.
Because I thought it went the name first.
No.
And then that kind of turned you into a serial killer.
They call you by three names once you become infamous.
Okay.
You're kind of infamous, though. Yeah. Anyway.
I have actually four names.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
You are really scary.
Well.
Anyway, we're going to talk about serial killer Joseph Paul Franklin. The title of the podcast is Hate Crime, Serial Killer Joseph Paul Franklin, who was a, nice way to put it, Miss Brandy, a racist piece of shit.
Excellent.
Yes. And I almost didn't do this story because I'm not really big on racists. They're down there with child killers to me. Maybe a step up, but not much.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to talk about this dude. But before we do, let me remind you that we are a history / true crime comedy podcast. We use adult humor, so if you are easily offended, this is probably not the podcast for you. We suggest you check out one of the thousands of wonderful podcasts out there, including They Walk Among Us and Insight. That somehow Brandy seems to be able to tell a story without cursing.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. But let me first, before we get started, let me introduce my co-host for the podcast today, the very lovely and talented, known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent.
Yes.
Queen Brandy, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy? Long live the Queen.
It's about time I got a proper introduction. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, you like your new title.
I do like my new title.
Okay.
It's better than penis loving and all that other shit.
You should not be ashamed to be penis loving.
I'm not, but
there's a whole group of people out there that loves penises.
I recognize that.
Yeah,
and
you should not.
I'm a fan of the penis.
Okay,
I'm just saying
you should not talk bad about penis lovers because
they are
good people.
But I think on my tombstone there needs to be something besides penis loving.
Popping,
whatever. I mean, there's a lot more that going on there. I have depth. I have layers. I'm like an onion.
You know what is odd is that you've been able to talk uninterrupted for the last 12 seconds.
I have, which is amazing. But that's only because Chuck is not joining us today, as most of you,
the Colonel,
as many of you may have known, his sister passed away, and his nieces are all on our page too. So their mother passed away, and they're going to be out for a little bit, so we decided we were going to get something out, but we will be doing it without Chuck. So we want to extend our condolences to Chuck and his family. And there's evidently his sister was not a wealthy woman, and she didn't leave much for her kids to bury her or do anything with. So there is a GoFundMe page where if you can donate to help them with funeral expenses for her, we can give you that. I think we can give you that here in just a second. Tim's looking it up. But if you can help with funeral expenses for her, I'm sure it would be much, much appreciated because I take it was pretty sudden. She wasn't sick or anything, right?
No, I think it was unexpected. And she wasn't that – I think she was older than Chuck, but, you know, and Chuck, of course, is pretty old, but she wasn't that.
Chuck is so old.
But I think she was relatively young, and it's you know, I know it's very difficult for the family, and we were
– Oh, absolutely.
Very sorry, but the let me get that. You can ramble a minute. I'll get the GoFundMe information.
I'm not Chuck. I just can't ramble on command. That seems
well. Why don't you do this?
Okay.
Why don't you give a shout out to our Patreon supporters, and I will get the information on GoFundMe.
Okay, excellent. So I do want to shout out to our Patreon supporters. I'm not going to get you all because I have an old list. Because surprise, surprise, Chuck is in charge of the list and getting these things. So if I leave you off, I do apologize. We appreciate all of the donations that come
in. Yes, we love
in.
All of you, except sometimes we screw up.
Well, yes.
Chuck usually screws up, but...
Yeah, it's usually Chuck. So, like I said, if we leave anybody off, and I know that we will, I apologize, and we'll get you next time. So we want to give a thank you to Alicia and Chip, Daniel Bassett, Jen Moyer, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Maggie Glover, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Joe Hopkins with the Now American History podcast, Rebecca Oshinger, Karen Alden, Cheryl Pierce, TJ Young, Catherine Cockgarage Richardson, Fiona Crisp, Karen Garrett, Mike Brown with the Pleasing Terrors podcast, Lorna Violet, Nene, Andrea Odell, and I'm reading Tim's handwriting, so that may have something to do with me jacking up. Well, you have horrible handwriting. Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Donna Curran, Maja, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, who just had the baby? It's going away from me. Was it
Elise? Just had Elise. A beautiful boy, baby boy. He's gorgeous. Oh, my God.
I love him.
Congratulations, Elise.
Yes, I love him.
We love you, and we love him.
Yes. Diane Student with the History Goes Bump podcast, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Jeff and Dawn Chestnut, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia and her sister Ruth Ann, Jennifer Wozniak, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Mandy Swanson, Cindy Lou, Heather Poole, Charlie and Allie from the Insight podcast, Bridget Bernhardt, the cast and crew of They Walk Among Us.
Yes, Rosanna Fenton and Benjamin Fenton, who has his new History Dweeb shirt. I just want to say,
it's very stylish.
It is very stylish. They have been so supportive of our podcast. If you check out any podcast this week, if you haven't checked out They Walk Among Us, which you probably have because they're award-winning. They're like the best podcast, true crime podcast in Great Britain. But they have been so supportive of us in a million different ways. So if you haven't checked out They Walk Among Us yet, please do. They're super people. And, of course, you know, Chuck has hots for Ben's voice.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. You know, I try not to judge.
I will judge him.
I know. You judge a lot.
Stacy, Chris Hauer, Cheryl Weldon.
And Chris Hauer, by the way, has Jeffrey the Wonder Cat.
Ah, Jeffrey the Wonder Cat.
Yes.
And Rudy the Wonder Beagle.
The Wonder Dog. And we had did you get our last two? Andrea Odell.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And Lauren. Oh, Violet. Okay, cool. Yeah, if we left you off, we're sorry because we're going on our older list. So if we left you off, we beg your pardon.
We're a bit of a clusterfuck today.
Yes, we're just trying to get something out. That GoFundMe page that we were speaking of earlier, it's posted on our Facebook group page. It's History Dweebs, the podcast. If you're not a member, why not? You should have joined us by now. The wonderful people there. They're very sweet. We met a lot of them this past weekend.
We did. It was a good time.
Yes. We were at CrimeCon and got to meet a lot of podcasters. But most importantly, got to meet a lot of our listeners. And we had a wonderful time. If you haven't checked out our live podcast where we interview many of our listeners who were there, please do so. We had a great time. And just everyone was lovely and nice. And
and we're hoping everybody can come out to DweebCon.
Yes, we are going to have a meetup in Cincinnati the second weekend of October. We'll get some more details on that as we get closer. But we would love to have you come to Cincinnati for a meetup, and a lot of people are going to be there. I'm going to give you this GoFundMe page for Chuck's sister. It's GoFundMe, and I don't know if you need to search or you need to type, but anyway, it's Honoring Annie Walters. That's Annie, A-N-N-I-E, Walters, W-A-L-T-E-R-S, since I, you know, usually screw up pronunciations. It's Honoring Annie Walters. And I'm just looking through here, Brandy, and it lists the people who've contributed.
Mm-hmm.
There is so many people from our page.
Good.
They've been very, very generous. So thank you all so much. I know Chuck and
Dominique, the girls,
we'll really appreciate it. And I cannot tell you how much we appreciate it. So, you know, we always say that we're a family, and you guys have proven once again that you have a big heart. So thank you very much. And now we're going to talk about someone who doesn't have such a big heart.
Yeah.
It's kind of a downer, but that's okay. Yeah. But anyway, thank you, everyone. And again, that's GoFundMe, Honoring Annie Walters. If you could find it in your heart to contribute to that, we would very much appreciate it. Okay, so the topic of our podcast today is hate crimes. Serial killer Joseph Paul Franklin. I remember this dude, Brandy. You remember him? He was.
I do not.
He was active in this neck of the woods, Cincinnati.
Yeah, what year?
It was the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, so I was little.
You were young. You were a bit young.
I didn't, yeah. No, I'm not as old as you.
I know. I keep forgetting.
As a parent.
Apparently no one is.
Chuck is.
Well, no, he tells me. He tells me that I'm older than him all
the time.
You
might be, but not by much.
Yeah. But
he thinks the gong shows in the history books.
I know. Well, that has nothing to do with age. It has more to do with
senility.
Intellect, I think.
Good Lord.
Anyway, let's talk about Joseph Paul Franklin. He was an American serial killer responsible for multiple murders, as most serial killers are. Brandy.
Well, I think that's a prerequisite.
Yeah, it's kind of the definition of a serial
killer. Sure is.
You have to kill people in order. It seems like you would have to kill people in order to be a serial killer, because you take them one at a time.
In order? Like, yeah. What kind of order?
I don't know.
Like alphabetical order?
Well,
I don't know how OCD you want to be on that.
I would do it in alphabetical order.
Well, of course you would.
And size and weight. And
Sure. Yeah. You would have criteria.
Okay, so Franklin, Joseph Paul Franklin, was convicted of several murders and given 6 life sentences, Brandy.
Oh, bummer.
As well as the death sentence.
Well, that is stupid.
Well, no, I think it was warranted after you find out.
No,
all
no, no, but how many?
Deeds.
But I mean, 6 life sentences and the death penalty.
Yeah,
come on now, they kind of cancel each other out. That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Well, once you serve one death sentence, then you've just served all your life sentences.
I kind of feel that way. Why don't you just just give him one death sentence and be done with the rest? Seems like that's a lot of paperwork.
So okay, yeah, it is a lot of paperwork. So anyway, let's talk about him. It is believed, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin was responsible, despite getting 6 life sentences and 1 death sentence, it was believed that Franklin was responsible for more than 20 murders overall in the 1970s and 1980s. This guy was a drifter, Brandy. And I don't mean he wasn't a part of the music group. He drifted around the country.
Oh, like a hobo.
Like a Gandhi dancer.
Much like a Gandhi dancer.
Yeah, except he didn't work.
What about a hobo?
He might. I don't think.
Is he hobo-esque?
I don't think he was. I don't think he rode rails, but maybe he was a drifter.
Is
Brandy.
Is that a prerequisite? For
yeah,
being
I think
a hobo?
To be a
you
hobo,
you have to ride the rails.
Yeah, because what else would you do? Isn't a hobo by definition someone who rides the rails?
I don't know. How the fuck would I know that?
Well, you got a phone. You got a smartphone. Figure it out.
I do, but I'm looking.
You're a
at
smart
else.
Person.
I am, but I don't care about that.
As Franklin was, as he was a drifter, Brandy, the killings took place in a number of different states, including, you ready?
Hit me.
Wisconsin, home of Bridget Clavey. Missouri, I'm sure someone is from Missouri on our page. Tennessee, home of Jen Wicks.
Isn't Charlie from Missouri?
I think she's from Kansas. No, you might be right. Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe she is from Missouri. I always get Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri confused. But I think you're right. I think she is from Kansas City, Missouri. Tennessee, from Jim Wicks. He committed murder in Georgia, which is, of course, where Dave is from.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia. I don't know if we have any from Virginia or not. Indiana, which is – Jeff is from there, right?
Well,
I think so. Ohio. Which
Jeff Appel, Jeff Appel's on.
Ohio. Of course, Nick is from Ohio. We got a lot of – Rachel's from Ohio. We got a lot of Ohio listeners. Pennsylvania. TJ is from Pennsylvania. West Virginia, where is Amber Krupp is from? Utah and Oklahoma. I don't know if we have. I'm sure we have listeners there, but I don't know who they are. And if I, because I, you know, I should have probably looked this stuff up before I opened my big mouth. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
Franklin confessed to the attempted murder of 2 prominent men, Brandy.
Okay.
Civil rights activist Vernon Jordan Jr.
Oh, really?
Yes, and. You'll know this guy. I know you've probably done a lot of work with this man. Magazine publisher Larry Flint.
Have you ever done
any work with Larry?
You posed one time.
Larry Flint, of course, is a publisher of Hustler magazine. He's infamous here in Cincinnati because if you've seen the movie The People versus Larry Flint, most of it took place here in Ohio. Most of it took place for Larry Flint and trying to sell Hustler magazines in Cincinnati and the local Prosecutor at the time, Silese, who was, I believe, played by, I forget who he was played by. But anyway, it was a good movie. What's the girl from Hull? She was in it.
Courtney Love.
Courtney Love was in it. But anyway, I digress. Larry Flint is still a publisher of Hustler magazine. He owns Hustler adult stores where they sell like vibrators and.
Yeah, he owns the stuff. Hustler store.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty self evident.
Yeah, yeah. They have clubs too. They have a Hustler club in Cleveland, which I'm sure you know our friend Karen visits often. I'm but sure. Anyway, Larry Flint was shot. He didn't die. He was paralyzed for the rest of his life. And I actually met Larry Flint once, Brandy.
Good job.
See, when Chuck's not here, I got to fill in all the homie stories.
Yeah, third asshole guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually coming home from lunch. He was in a lawsuit here in Cincinnati.
Was he in his wheelchair? Did he run you
over? Yes.
Did you run into his wheelchair while you were crossing
the
street?
I was coming through. He was coming from the courthouse. Down the street, and I was walking through an alley, and he almost ran over me with his wheelchair. By the way, his wheelchair was gold plated, so it was fancy.
I bet it was fancy.
But anyway, he excused. You know, he was very polite and said he was sorry. And I said that's okay. And I said, "You're Mr. Flint." And he said, "Yeah." And he reached out his hand, and I shook his hand. Well,
that's big.
Yes.
You never know where that hand's been, though. You should have been really careful.
But there's been a lot of green in that hand.
Or yeah.
Yeah. There's been a lot of stuff in that hand, probably. But no, he was actually very pleasant, you know. And Well, I don't know. I mean, you just know he could be an ass. But anyway, both Larry Flint and Vernon Jordan survived their injuries. As I said, Flint was left permanently paralyzed from the waist down. Which, you know, if you're Larry Flint, that's kind of key.
That is clutch.
Franklin was not convicted of either of these cases, but after he was convicted of subsequent murder charges, he confessed to them. So, anyway, he got away with these two assaults. Both of them lived, but he got away with it. But anyway, Franklin would later claim that his motivation behind these killings were mostly racial. The defense claimed that Franklin was a paranoid schizophrenic and was not fit to stand trial.
Was he?
I don't know. He had a lot of issues. Being an asshole was the most prominent.
It is hotter than Satan's asshole in this fucking room.
I am sorry. We can't have the fan on because it messes with the sound. So bear with me.
The fan is on.
Yeah, but it can't be on high.
Ugh.
Franklin was on death row for 15 years, Brandy, awaiting execution in the state of Missouri for the 1977 murder of a man named Gerald Jordan. All of his murders were race related. He had some issues with people of.
Larry Flint was white.
Yeah, but the thing was, Flint had. Hustler
magazine.
Interracial sex in the magazine, and yeah. So anyway, born James Clayton Vaughn Jr. So nothing like Joseph Paul Franklin at all.
Right.
James Clayton Vaughn Jr. on April 13th, 1950.
I think that's a better name.
Yeah, he should have stuck with that. On April 13th, 1950, in Mobile, Alabama, Franklin. I'm just going to call him Franklin because he changes his name later
Frank.
On. Well, it's actually Joseph, but let's just call him by the last name. Franklin was the eldest son of an alcoholic drifter, Brandy.
Oh.
Who often who often abandoned his family for months or years at a stretch. Kind of like you did over the weekend. You abandoned your family. They go to crime.
I did. I abandoned the hell right out of them. I skipped out the damn door.
You did not seem to show any remorse.
Didn't even look back. Just kept it moving.
On March 3rd, 1957, when Joseph Paul Franklin was 7 years old, he was riding on the handlebars of a friend's bicycle, and his friend slammed on the brakes, Brandy.
Yeah. Why is this a significant story? Because, I mean, this has happened to everyone, literally everybody.
Well, Franklin was thrown off the bike, and his head landed hard on the concrete.
Was he not wearing a helmet?
He was not.
Because that's when kids were kids, and you didn't have to wear a fucking helmet. learned how to tuck and roll.
Well, his head hit the concrete, and he sustained a severe head injury.
Like a concussion?
Yeah. Concussion, there's bleeding, there's stitches, the whole thing.
Yeah. Literally every kid has had that happen. Tuck and roll.
I'm just saying.
The fucker was too stupid to tuck and roll. I'm not saying he gets what he gets, but he gets what he gets.
You really should not be riding handlebars. Let this be a lesson to our listeners.
Because they're big handlebar riders at this point.
There might be some of them.
I don't think so.
You never know.
I kind of do.
When Radhika's riding the handlebars, she has a date, perhaps he takes her out to ice cream.
You think he's going to pick her up and put her in the basket on his bike? Because let me tell you something. If he shows up at Radhika's house on a bike, I bet you Radhika's not leaving the house to go deal with him.
Maybe if it was like a two-seater?
Nope.
You don't think so?
I do not.
All right, I won't do that then.
But if he shows up in a pedal bar, that's different.
All right.
I know you don't like the pedal bar, but
if Radhika ever goes out with me, I will not show up with a bike.
But I bet if you show up with a pedal bar, that's get you in there like swimwear.
I doubt it. I don't think there's any hope for that, but
I'm trying to help you out.
I know. I appreciate it. All right, let's get on with the story. This is ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure you got more tail than you can handle now. I don't know why you want to add to that mix anyway.
I really do. I got in trouble today.
Jesus. Go ahead.
I got in trouble.
I know you got in trouble, but let's go on with the
story. I forgot to text Clara.
You know what, though? That's just what – she's going to have to suck that up and be a big girl.
Well, she was fine until I laughed at her English.
Right. Well, you shouldn't have done that. But had you not text Clara for days or just you didn't text Clara this morning?
This morning.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Well, yeah, but –
That's
you
some
know,
bullshit.
That, she doesn't take – she's not open to that argument.
Is she one of those, like...
It's that Latin American thing, you know? It's that kind of double-edged sword.
The name's escaping me. What is the thing with Glenn Close and Michael Douglas, where the rabbit boiler... Is she a rabbit boiler?
No.
Oh, because she sounds like a rabbit boiler. She sounds like she's walking around going, I won't be ignored, Tim!
She's actually very sweet. She's just extremely...
She's just fiery and possessive?
Yes.
And
she
lives on another continent?
Yeah.
And you did not text her this morning.
Yes. It was my
I would have to say big fucking deal.
Well, it was okay until she caught when she, you know, cause
it's probably okay till you laughed at her, which is your fucking bad.
She's still learning English.
Yeah, well.
And I called her to calm her down after the texting didn't work, cuz you know you can only grovel so much in text. And
you can't grovel enough in text.
And then she was, you know, I was trying to apologize, and then her English is much better than it used to be, but for some reason, sometimes she calls me her uncle, which is weird.
Weird and gross.
Well, and it's so cute when she says that I laugh.
You're bad.
Yeah, she did not like the joke. She did not get the joke. She did not see the humor.
And then you got yelled at in Spanish.
Yeah, and then she said a bunch of stuff in Spanish that I didn't understand, so... Yeah. Anyway, back to Joseph Paul Franklin Brandy. You keep distracting.
She's probably talking about Dottie, too.
You are bad as Chuck. Now, she loves Mom.
Well.
She was not too crazy about her son, though, this morning.
None of us are.
Yeah. Anyway, he got thrown off the bike, had a head injury. Siblings remember him when the dad would come home, he would frequently beat So his dad would go away for weeks, months at a time. But when he came home, he would beat his kids. And
that sucks.
Joseph Paul Franklin absorbed the worst of the punishments.
Why?
He just
no reason.
I don't know.
I bet he was lippy. My oldest one gets lippy.
Yeah. Well, he would beat the shit out of him, apparently. Franklin's father would later die, Brandy, in a mental ward in Biloxi, Mississippi in 1994.
That's what I hope to do.
You want to die in a mental ward in Biloxi, Mississippi?
Hell yeah. High on some kind of Thorazine or some shit.
As a youth, Brandy.
Yes.
Although he was reasonably intelligent, although I kind of question that.
Yeah.
He did poorly in school and was teased by his fellow students. At 15, young Franklin started reading Mein Kampf. Course, by your good friend Adolf Hitler.
What? My good friend? No.
And he would often quote Hitler in class.
Well, I'm sure that made him very popular.
Well, this is not when did not win him favor with his Jewish history teacher.
There you go.
Who threatened to have him expelled. I can understand that.
That just seems, yeah, he's not that smart. That seems stupid.
He began to become interested in hate groups as a teenager and got involved with evangelical church groups, Brandy. Not saying there's a connection there. I'm just saying that he was into both of those things.
Seems odd.
At 16, Brandy, Franklin was in a terrible auto accident. When did you get in your first car accident?
Really bad one?
Yeah.
When I was 32,
33. Okay. Anyone get hurt?
No.
Okay.
No, fortunately, no.
Well, in his accident, he received a severe head injury.
Again.
And several lacerations, yeah. The accident also left him severely impaired eyesight, much like myself.
Well, he probably would go to the doctor, too.
I've got to get an appointment with an optometrist.
Yeah. He probably went and had his eyes checked, unlike you.
Yeah. Well, they prescribed me glasses, like, when I was 20, and I just...
Yeah, well, and that's the right you wanted to take.
I tried them all, and it gave me a headache, and that was the last
sure.
I wore them.
Sure. And you've been wearing dollar store readers ever since.
The injury led Franklin to drop out of Murphy High School, Brandy, at the end of his junior year. And you can never figure people dropping out their junior year. You're almost there.
I know.
But then again, I didn't take the law bar exam, so who am I to judge?
Well, you know, you failed.
I did not fail. I did not take it.
Same thing.
No, it's not.
It absolutely is.
It is not. The injury was enough to exempt Franklin from military conscription, the draft, Brandy. At an age when many young men were sweating out the draft lottery. I remember they had these. You ever seen a draft lottery? You're probably too young.
No, I was too young.
But they would pull these numbers, just like a real lottery. They pull these balls out of this thing. The guy would be blindfolded, like Secretary of Defense or something. And, man, you know.
It sounds like the Hunger Games.
A little bit. My brother got a real low number, which meant he was sure to be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And he went for his physical. And between the time he took his physical and when he was supposed to report, they ended the draft.
Nice.
So he just got out. But Franklin, in this sense, he lucked out because he had this eye injury because of this automobile accident. So he did not have to worry about going to Vietnam. Yeah. It's this whole other country.
Nam.
Remember Forrest Gump?
Yeah, I do remember Forrest Gump.
They sent me to Vietnam.
And Bubba.
It's a whole other country. Yeah.
Thank you. Really? I really don't hear your Forrest Gump impression enough.
In February 1968, when Franklin was 18, he met a young lady, Brandy.
Oh.
As most boys do. Her name was Bobby Louise Dorman. Bobby Louise. She was 16 at the time, and they got married 2 weeks later.
Sure. That's what you want to do.
It was a short engagement, apparently.
Oh, apparently. Why wait?
Well, when you find true love, what's the sense of waiting?
No.
Soon after the wedding, Franklin's bride noted a change in his personality. He was like night and day, she said.
Wait a minute. How would she know she's known him for 2 weeks? How the fuck? I can fake anything for 2 weeks.
Well, apparently.
I can fake sanity for 2 weeks.
Apparently, that's what he did.
I can fake it for three.
He began to beat her. Which is not cool. Emulating the
That's
father,
a flaw.
Emulating his father, I guess, because his father used to beat him. And on occasion, she would find him just sitting alone in a corner on the floor weeping.
Oh yeah.
Which you know, I wouldn't
I
really have
happens.
A whole lot of sympathy for him after he beat me up.
No, I got nothing for you.
I wouldn't be patting his back.
No.
But anyway, he was a dick. They didn't stay married long. Only 4 months, and they got divorced.
Surprise.
In 1968, shortly after his divorce, Franklin joined the American Nazi Party and became an active member.
Good. Good. He found a place to belong.
Yeah. Ugh. In 1969, Brandy, when Franklin was 19 years old, he became obsessed with Charlie Manson's plan for a race war, Helter Skelter. So that was in a whole, you know, we did that whole podcast on Manson, which took like 4 months to do the research on, which... was very, very much, very a lot of work. And I will not do that again.
Okay.
We're not doing another Manson episode.
Okay. Because we already did one, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like not.
We have filled our Manson quota until he dies, and then we'll.
It's kind of like not writing Great Expectations because Charles Dickens has already written it.
Yeah,
kind of same thing. Yeah.
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 Good job.
Thank you. Franklin was arrested in Atlanta, Hot Atlanta, Brandy.
Hot Atlanta.
Yep. Down there with where Bridget and Chris live.
Yes.
Brittany and Chris. I'm sorry. For visiting an adult bookstore and tearing out photos of black models.
Well, yeah, you can't damage the fucking merchandise. I mean, I think they tell you that when you go in there.
Yeah, he apparently had problems with African-Americans.
Dude, here's the thing, because I've been in the Hustler store, and here's the thing.
But this wasn't a Hustler store.
Well,
this is just
no,
an adult.
I'm just saying, right. An adult, whatever. So they have these things, like, we were in Hustler, and it was, you know, they had, and I don't know, I may be Chuck telling this story again, but they had this thing that was on a stand, and it went kind of up the wall, and then it had a dildo sticking out of it.
Okay.
And there was a sign on it that was like, you know, please don't, you know, please don't back into this or whatever it is. Right. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's there for a reason. That's there because somebody has lifted their skirt or thrown down their pants and backed their ass up.
Please don't
on
touch
this
the merchandise.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, this
so
is
like a Sibian like thing where you.
No, it was just a dildo on a pike or a stick or something stuck out of the wall.
Well, you don't want people using that.
Well, no, but, you know, first of all, if you have that much of a problem, I feel like you should take the display down, first of all. And second of all, I mean, that sign's there for a fucking reason. I can't even imagine going in there and being like, you know what I need to do right now?
I'm going to try this out.
I'm going to back up on it and see how it works out.
Before I invest all this money in
all of these, yeah, all of these things. Well, that's like they do the battery test before you take things out of there. And, like, that's not humiliating. But, you know, all of these things, you're not supposed to be ripping shit up and tearing. They don't even let you. Now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
They're in fucking plastic bags. You can't even look through them before you buy them.
I bought porn one time. There was this little store in Portsmouth that sold books. And, you know, back then, as a teenager, you could buy them. You know, now,
right.
Yeah, you can't. But back then, they would sell them to you. But I would go in and I would buy like Home and Garden, Sports Illustrated, nine magazines and sneak
and
like,
barely legal, yeah.
Yeah, and then sneak in Swank or something.
Right.
So I'm taking this up to the counter and, you know, all these magazines up to the counter. So I'm, you know, checking out with all these magazines. Well, there was this girl who in high school I had this huge crush on.
Sure.
Her name was Mindy. She's beautiful, just beautiful girl, and I had this huge crush on her. So I'm taking these magazines up to the front, and I get there and set them down. Person's ringing me up, and I look up, and it's Mindy. She's working there for the summertime.
Nice.
I was so embarrassed. So I never did talk to her after
that.
Well,
no, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, there's no going back after
but
you.
Well, you know, there's no return policy on toys, so
right.
They make sure that they work before they take them out. They pop batteries in your shit. While you're standing there in line.
Let's check out the butt plug, make sure
yeah.
It's working okay.
Yeah, and then they'll look at you like, I bought one thing, and they're, you know, and he puts the batteries in it, and I'm like, okay, great, you know, whatever. And then he's like, well, there's an AC adapter for this. Would you like to? No, I don't fucking want an AC adapter.
You put it in a brown paper bag when
yeah,
you get out
exactly.
The door.
Exactly. Can you just, you know.
Shut the fuck up and let me
right.
take my money and leave.
Yeah, I don't care. Just whatever you need to do. The AC adapter. Jesus Christ. Like, I need that shit plugged into a wall.
Anyway, Franklin got busted for tearing out pictures of African-American women from these magazines. And the store.
They banned him for life?
Nah, they banned him, but he dropped the charges. The next few years were marked by ugly racial incidents with Franklin and sporadic arrests for carrying concealed weapons. In 1971, Joseph Paul Franklin was convicted of carrying a concealed weapon in Fairfax, Virginia, and he was placed on probation. He was increasingly drawn to the American Nazi Party. As I said, he became more and more active with them. And also with a... his mother died in 1972, and he also got involved with another segregationist movement. He moved to Atlanta, where he joined the neo-fascist National States' Right Party.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so he's making friends.
They've got a potluck.
Yeah, they probably have a Facebook group page. I'm just kidding.
They probably do.
I know, and I do not go there, please. I don't want to give these...
Hell of a potluck.
Do not want to give these folks any recognition. But he also held membership at the same time in the local Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, well, he's just a group joining motherfucker, isn't he?
He really is. In 1972, he began selling the racist newspaper, The Thunderbolt. So he's just an all-around asshole. He would soon quit the Klan because get this, Brandy.
Hit me.
The KKK was not violent enough for Franklin.
Well.
And I guess they were pussies to him, and he wanted, I know.
Huh.
Yeah. So, anyway, he began to insult interracial couples in public in the mid-70s. On Labor Day 1976, he trailed one such couple to a dead-end street in Montgomery County, Maryland, where he sprayed them with chemical mace.
Oh, geez.
This guy's an asshole.
Yes, he is.
Also in 1976, Franklin sent a threatening letter to newly elected President Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter won't put up with this shit.
Secret Service won't put up with that shit. Around the same time, Franklin changed his name. Remember I said, he changed his name to Joseph Paul Franklin. Shedding, Brandy, the last links with his quote-unquote normal life. He kind of went left a little bit before then, but anyway.
Yeah.
On July 2nd, 1977, which was 2 days before July 4th.
Oh, okay.
Which
sure.
July 4th, 1977 would have been the 201st anniversary of the United States.
Thank you.
Yeah. I remember 1976. They used to have these things they called, because it was bicentennial year. They used to have these things they called the bicentennial minute, where was a guy on Barney Miller? You know what I'm talking about? You don't know who Barney Miller is.
I do know who Barney Miller is. I'm trying to think. Hal Holbrook. It's Hal Linden.
Hal Linden, yes. He would give these, little, they were like commercials. They were bicentennial.
Fucking love Barney Miller.
And he would give these, give you these little American history facts on commercials. It was kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love Barney Miller.
But this would have been in the following year. On July 2nd, 1977, Franklin commits the first of what would be 16 major bank robberies happened in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is really stupid because you never want to rob a bank. And you know why.
Okay. Just enlighten me. Why?
Because it's a federal crime. So when you rob a bank, you get the FBI involved.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if there was another. A special reason I was missing.
No. If you.
So he is an all-around asshole. It's not like he specialized in something.
No. He's an all-around asshole. He's a racist. He's a bank robber. He's a murderer. And he, he gets hit in the head a lot.
Much like yourself. And Chuck, actually.
Well, we get hit in the head a lot, but we're not racists or bank robbers.
Not yet.
Murderers. No.
Chuck,
he borderlines on bank robbery.
Well, right.
he gets a little antsy when we walk by Fifth Third.
He does.
He does twitch a little.
It's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. Federal prosecutors, Brandy.
Yes.
Have alleged that Franklin spent the years 1977 to 1980 wandering across the South and Midwest, employing 18 different pseudonyms. I need a couple of pseudonyms. It's hard to get a good pseudonym.
Dick Tingler.
Yeah, you know what? Try to get a pseudonym, and I bet you try to get an email address. It's hard as fuck anymore to get a decent email address.
Well, you have to put numbers in because, no matter what, somebody's got it.
I know. But, my Yahoo address is timtscott@yahoo.com. No way you'd get...
That's amazing.
Yeah. I've had that same email address since 1999.
You know, it's not actually amazing, but
you know how much spam I get.
Oh,
I cleaned it all out once because, you know, I've got like 10,000. At some point, it caps off.
Right.
You can't get any more unless you pay, which I wasn't going to do. And so I started deleting them. It took me like 5 days to delete all old emails. But finally, when you do, it says, you know, it congratulates you. It gives you a little star.
Oh, I know. Little fireworks and shit. Yeah.
It's kind of rewarding. Anyway, he's going across.
That's the kind of validation that you need.
You know, I look for any validation I can get.
Jesus.
Anyway, he used 18 different pseudonyms. He would change cars and weapons frequently. He dyed his hair so often, Brandy, that his hair started falling out.
That's
a lesson for our listeners.
Is that what happened to you?
No, mine just fell out. It wasn't because of dyeing it. Along the way, he killed 13 people, at least, in a frenzy. One man war against minorities, Brandy. Which is not very cool. According to the FBI, Franklin launched his campaign in the summer of 1977, which is 10 years, which was, how long is that, 40 years ago, this summer.
I was three.
Yes. It was 10 years after the Summer of Love.
Oh, wow.
But that was a whole other topic.
Right.
On July 25th, Brandy, 1977, Franklin bombed the home of Jewish leader Morris Amitai.
He bombed it like Molotov cocktail.
Yes,
bombed it.
Yes, yes, bombed it. It was his house, and it was attached like a synagogue.
Oh,
The bomb killed. Oh, this is not cool. It didn't kill anyone, but it killed the family dog. So that sucks.
So it did kill someone. Killed the dog.
It killed the dog, but all the people lived. A few days later, he bombed a Chattanooga synagogue. Sorry to say that real fast. Can you believe I said those two words back to back?
I'm sitting here impressed. I'm glad I was sitting for it, actually.
He bombed a Chattanooga synagogue. No one was hurt, but the blast did do several thousand dollars worth of damage. 9 days later, Brandy, Franklin robbed a bank in Madison, Wisconsin. So this motherfucker gets around.
He is everywhere.
He is everywhere. You'll see this as we go through this story. Franklin came to Madison. Well, ask me why he went to Madison, Brandy.
Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he go to Madison?
Well, let me tell you. He went to Madison to kill a judge there by the name of Archer Simonson of Dane County. By the way, Madison, I think it's near where Bridget Clavey lives, who we met over the weekend.
We did. I have no idea what's by where she lives.
Yeah. My friend Barry just because Frost Jr. is up here in Madison. Or up in Wisconsin. But
just
anyway,
because it's from Wisconsin doesn't mean it's near anything.
I know. But anyway, he went up there to kill this judge because the judge had made his ruling in a sexual assault case. He felt the judge had been too lenient in the sentencing of two black men for assaulting a white woman. So he traced this judge to his home, only to find that the judge was out of town at the time.
Well, and you know what? That was some fucking work because there was no internet.
Right.
You were going by, like, you know, library and a map.
Well, the fucker didn't work, and he was just a drifter, so he had time. He had some time on his hand between robberies and bombings.
Yeah, but still. I mean, that still takes a lot of fucking work to find that out.
Well, it takes a lot of hate to go through.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look in the phone book still, but, you know, there's no GPS. You got to get a map for that shit.
Right. And you would think, well, remember when – I never could understand. Remember in phone books where there was a phone book and you had to pay not to be listed?
Yes.
That was stupid. That's like going to a store and say, okay, I'm not having a Snickers bar. That's $1.25.
Well, or, you know, the whole thing where they post people's mugshots and you have to pay to take them down.
That's bad. I don't like that at all because that's really – because they're you get arrested, what we're talking about, if you get arrested, it's public information. So these websites like – I'm not going to give them credit because I'm not going to give them a shout-out. But anyway, you can figure it out. They put your mugshots on the internet. And if – to get them off, you have to pay them to take that down. And it's not just one site. I mean, it could be 100 of them.
Right.
So I feel bad for people. Don't get arrested, kids. That's my advice to you.
Nice. Okay. Look at you, Uncle Tammy.
Thank you. I've never been arrested and don't plan to be. But anyway, we can't say that from our friend Chuck.
We cannot.
All right, Franklin. So he goes to kill this judge, and the judge is not home. Good thing. But it was not a good thing for another couple, because later in the day, Franklin would kill Alfonso Manning and Tony Schwinn, both 23 years old. They were an interracial couple who were backing out in front of him in a restaurant parking lot. They were holding hands, and they got in a car. They backed out in front of him, and he just shot them, killed them both.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's a dick. In August of 1977, Franklin robbed a bank in Little Rock, Arkansas. See, he's all over the place. He got away with $2,700, Brandy. Again, don't rob banks, kids. It gets the feds involved. On October 2nd, 1977, he robbed another bank, Brandy, in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh.
Where our friend Aaron is from.
Yes.
Aaron with an A. And he got away with an undetermined amount of cash. They don't know how much money they had, apparently.
They really should. I feel like they should keep track of that better.
They might just not want to say how much he got away with, but in the research it says undetermined.
Oh.
On August 8th, 1977, Gerald Gordon, Commissioner Gordon.
But different.
Mm-hmm.
But real.
He was 42 years old, Brandy. He was killed by sniper fire as he left a bar mitzvah in St. Louis, suburb of Richmond Heights. Another man, William Ash, 30, was also shot, but he survived the ordeal. So he's all over the place. On February 2nd, which is Groundhog's Day, just want to give a recognition of that, 1978, February 2nd, 1978. Where is it in Pennsylvania that they do that?
I don't know. Oh, Punxsutawney.
Yes. I had a conversation with Monica D'Agostino over the weekend, and she was telling she visited there. But anyway, back to the story. On February 2nd, 1978, Franklin killed Johnny Brookshire, 22. He was an African-American, and he wounded his white girlfriend, Joy Williams, 23, who was from Atlanta. Johnny Brookshire died, and Joy Williams was paralyzed for the rest of her life.
Oh.
On March 6, 1978, so a month later, Franklin wounded and paralyzed Hustler magazine publisher Larry Flint in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Larry Flint was shot. I don't know if you probably don't remember this, but Larry Flint went through this phase where he got religion all of a sudden, and he became good friends with Jimmy Carter's sister, who was evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got saved and went through and got a whole religion thing. Well, he did that, and his daughter took over the business. But eventually he had a change of heart or whatever, and he gave up, you know, the church. And that was one of the reasons why Franklin says that he killed him. And also...
Or that he shot him.
They shot him. Yeah, he didn't kill him. Also, he shot him, but also because... you know, his magazine would feature interracial couples having sex in Hustler. So, on March 6, 1978, during a legal battle related to an obscenity charge in Gwinnett County, Georgia, Flint and his local attorney, Gene Reeves Jr., were returning to the courthouse when they were shot on a sidewalk by Franklin, who was standing near an alley across the street. The shooting left Flynn partially paralyzed with permanent spinal cord damage and in need of a wheelchair. And as we said, Larry Flint is still alive. He's still owns Hustler magazine, Hustler bookstores, Hustler clubs, and, of course, is a free speech advocate. And Larry Flint would later come out against the death penalty in the Franklin case because he says he didn't believe in the death penalty. So... But anyway, Brandy, what happens next?
So Larry Flint's injuries caused him constant excruciating pain, and he was addicted to painkillers until multiple surgeries deadened the affected nerves.
Yeah, it really fucked up his life.
He also suffered a stroke caused by one of several overdoses of his analgesic medications. He recovered but is still bound to a wheelchair. Has had other pronunciation difficulties ever since then.
Yeah, it's messed up his speech.
Much like yourself.
Yeah, but I don't have the same excuse.
So you don't? Yeah, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Harold McIver, the black manager of a fast food restaurant in Doraville, Georgia, was working the night shift when a sniper took his life on July 22nd, 1979.
This guy, he's killing people willy-nilly, Brandy.
I don't like willy or nilly killings.
I don't either. He's a willy or nilly killer.
He is. All right, a little bit out of order here.
Okay.
On July 21st, 1978, Franklin robbed a bank in Mobile, Alabama and escaped with $4,700 in cash. On July 29th, 1978, Franklin fatally shot African-American William Bryant Tatum and wounded his white girlfriend, Nancy Hilton, 18, at a Pizza Hut in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I used to work at Pizza Hut, and I do not approve of that.
I know. 3 months later, in Oklahoma City, another interracial couple came under attack from the gunman. I don't even know what word you tried to spell there.
I don't know. Roll with it.
Yeah. Jesse Taylor was hit 3 times with a high-powered rifle before he died. A single round through the chest killed Marion Brissett as she ran to the aid of her common-law husband. Franklin struck twice in Indianapolis during January of 1980, killing black men with long-distance rifle fire in 2 separate attacks. On May 3, 1979, Franklin killed a young white woman, Rebecca Bergstrom, dumping her body near Toma in central Wisconsin. On Why is he dumping her body anywhere?
He's all over the place.
It doesn't say how he killed her either.
I think he killed everyone through gunshots.
Well, then why is he dumping her body? Well, whatever.
He picked up. He killed several women. I think she's one of them. He picked up hitchhiking.
Ah.
And then he would ask them about their dating habits, whatever. And if he finds out that they dated
black guys, then
yeah,
he killed them. On June 8, 1979, Franklin surfaced in Cincinnati, killing cousins Daryl Lane and Dante Brown from a sniper's perch on a nearby railroad trestle. A week later, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, Jesus Christ, how does he get gas money to get all these places?
Well, he's robbing banks.
Yeah. Franklin.
Well, what I don't understand is how he was able to get by with robbing as many banks as he did.
Sure.
When you got the FBI. Now, granted, things were not as technically advanced in the 70s and 80s as they are now, but you get the FBI on you, you're asking for a world of trouble, and he somehow managed to elude him for a long time.
So in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, Franklin gunned down a black couple, Arthur Smothers and Kathleen McCula, as they crossed a downtown bridge. Then, on August 20th, he's across the country and kills joggers Ted Fields and David Martin in Salt Lake City, Utah.
See, the thing is, with this guy, is that these killings were taking part. Again, this is before, you know, computers
so
and databases and all that. And, you know, everyone's chalking up to random shootings or whatever, but he, you know, he's just all over the place.
On July 12, 1979, Franklin fatally shoots Harold McIver, 29, an African-American man and Taco Bell manager in Doraville, Georgia.
I bet he wouldn't shoot McIver.
Well, clearly not.
MacGyver could always make shit.
MacGyver blow him up with a fucking toothpick and a Tic Tac.
Yes.
On December 5th, 1979, Franklin fatally shoots Mercedes Lynn Masters, 15, a white prostitute from Oklahoma City, after she tells him that she had African American customers.
See, he would quiz them about their racial background, their ethnic background, and then, you know, about their ethnic beliefs, and then
so he's looking for people.
Yeah, he's just an asshole.
On January 12, 1980, Franklin fatally shoots African American Lawrence E. Reese, 22, at a KFC in Indianapolis, Indiana. 2 days later, on January 14th, Franklin fatally shoots African American Leo Thomas Watkins, 19, also in Indianapolis. Watkins is shot through the plate glass window of a convenience store in an Indianapolis shopping mall. On May the 2nd, 1980, Franklin fatally shoots Rebecca Bergstrom, 20, a white woman who he picked up hitchhiking in Mill Bluff State Park, Wisconsin. After a short conversation, Franklin learned that Rebecca had dated a black guy. Franklin pulled the car over on an isolated highway, excused himself, took a .44 Magnum handgun out of his trunk, and proceeded to shoot Rebecca in the face at close range. She, of course, died at the scene. Until this point, the police in different locations were investigating all of these crimes as separate events. In May of 1980, the FBI got involved in The FBI got involved when famed civil rights leader Vernon E. Jordan was shot. Jordan was an African-American business executive and civil rights activist in the United States. A leading figure in the civil rights movement, he was later chosen by President Bill Clinton as a close advisor. Jordan had become known as an influential figure in American politics. He was the executive director of the United Negro College Fund and also served as president of the National Urban League from 71 to 81. On May 29, 1980, Jordan was shot and seriously wounded outside the Marriott Inn in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was accompanied by a woman named Martha Coleman at the time. Martha Coleman, 36, had met Vernon Jordan in his motel cocktail lounge just after midnight on May 29th. Earlier that evening, he had spoken to the organization's Fort Wayne, Indiana chapter of the National Urban League. Coleman served on that board. They had drinks for a half hour, then drove across town to her home and stayed in for some 45 minutes. Then she drove Jordan back to his motel, where at 2:05 a.m. he was shot once in the back as he left her red and white Pontiac Grand Prix. Miraculously, the wound was not fatal, and Vernon Jordan continues his works for civil rights to this day. As Jordan recovered in a Fort Wayne hospital and Martha Coleman went into seclusion, local police and the FBI searched for the weapon, the motive, and the gunman. Coleman rushed to the front desk of the Marriott Inn, told the desk clerk Lee Pence that a man had been wounded without mentioning Jordan's name, and told Pence to summon help. Police thought initially it might have been a domestic incident related to Coleman's life, but authorities quickly ruled Coleman out as a suspect and ruled it a hate crime, triggering the involvement of the FBI.
Yeah, what happened is, and the reason why we mentioned her is that they thought they were at some hook up there and it was a jealous husband, when really there was nothing to that, that she was just dropping him off after this conference. And but they,
I don't know, they were at her house for 45 minutes.
Well, but the thing is, they thought it was some kind of rendezvous when it wasn't. And so initially they thought that was the police thought that had something to do with the shooting, when instead it was, you know, Joseph Paul Franklin.
Then President Jimmy Carter visited Jordan while he was recovering, an event that became the first story covered by the new network CNN.
No, a little history for you, Brandy.
There you go. I recognize CNN.
CNN is his history. Not the Gong Show, but CNN is history.
Right.
All right.
The FBI started investigating the shooting as a federal hate crime. They also started to connect the dots between all the seemingly unrelated robberies and shootings. Their main suspect was Joseph Paul Franklin. A national search began for their suspect, and the manhunt seemed to cause him to intensify his efforts. On June 8, 1980, Franklin shot and killed cousins Daryl Lane, 14, and Dante Evans Brown, 13, in Cincinnati. Both teenagers were African-American and playing basketball when shot and killed by Franklin. Jesus. On June 16th, 1980.
This guy was a dick.
On June 16th, 1980, Franklin kills African-Americans Arthur Smothers, 22, and Kathleen McCullough, 16, in Jonestown, Pennsylvania. Then on the 25th, Franklin successfully robbed a bank in Burlington, North Carolina, escaping with an undisclosed amount of cash. Driving north the next day, Franklin kills hitchhikers Nancy Santomero, 19, and Vicky Durian, 26, in Pocahontas, West Virginia. Both girls were white. He would later claim that he killed them for dating black men. On August 20th, 1980, Franklin kills two African Americans, Ted Fields, 20, and David Martin, 18, in Salt Lake City, Utah. By this time, the police were closing in. On September 25th of that year, Joseph Paul Franklin was arrested in Florence, Kentucky.
He's nearby.
There you go.
He's the home of, I think that's where Rachel was from.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Sorry if that's wrong, Rachel.
He soon got away and was recaptured a month later after escaping to Lakeland, Florida. He was extradited to Salt Lake City, Utah, and arraigned for the murders of Ted Fields and David Martin. Franklin faced a marathon series of state and federal trials with mixed results. In 82, he was acquitted of federal civil rights charges. in the May 1980 shooting of that left civil rights leader Vernon Jordan critically injured in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Later on, he would confess to this crime. He wasn't convicted, but he confessed to it.
All right.
Nice. Utah juries found him guilty of murder and civil rights violations. Franklin was serving life on those counts in 83 when he confessed to the 78 sniping that crippled Hustler magazine publisher Larry Flint in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Franklin was indicted for that crime but never tried since he was already facing stiffer penalties in other states. More convictions followed. For the Chattanooga bombing, for the double murder in Wisconsin, described by prosecutors as the closest thing to killing for sport. For the murder of Gerald Gordon, killed, leaving a Clayton, Missouri synagogue in 1977. That was his first death sentence. For the June 1980 double murder in Cincinnati. For the 78 murder of William Tatum, shot while talking to a white woman outside a Chattanooga restaurant. Other crimes confessed by Franklin without further conviction made the 1980 murder of teenager Nancy Santomero at a peace retreat in West Virginia. The 1980 murders of an interracial couple in Pittsburgh. The 1980 murders of an interracial couple in Johnstown, Ohio. The separate 79 murders of a white woman and a black man in Decatur, Georgia. Overall, investigators believe that Franklin was responsible for at least 18 murders and 5 non-fatal shootings in 11 states, plus 2 bombings and 17 bank robberies. He's diversified.
Yeah, he was a dick.
Caught that. On February 3rd, 1982, while serving time in the United States Penitentiary in Marion, Illinois, Franklin was stabbed 15 times in the neck and abdomen by a group of African Americans.
Oh, Colonel Justice.
Yes. Wait a minute. While waiting trial for the attempted murder of Vernon E. Jordan, Franklin survived this attack.
Damn.
He would eventually serve 15 years on death row in the state of Missouri for the 77 murder of Gerald Gordon. Joseph Paul Franklin was finally executed by lethal injection on November 20th, 2013.
And somehow I'm not sad about that.
I'm good. I'm good with it.
Yeah, he was a real piece of work.
Yeah.
What's your final thoughts, Brandy, on serial killer and racist hate crime committing Joseph Paul Franklin?
I am glad that he is dead and gone.
Yeah, he should have went sooner.
Yes, he should have. The world doesn't need that.
No.
We got enough problems.
You have any final comments and or thoughts or commentary? What is your commentary of the day?
I don't have any commentary of the day. I would encourage you to go to the GoFundMe page and look for Honoring Annie, A-N-N-I-E, Walters. I think there are several, but there's a picture on there of her and her girls, and there's a guy on there. I'm not sure who the guy is, but there's a picture on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, give a little or a lot or whatever you can spare, because I know, like I said, this was very sudden. They hadn't prepared for it, and they didn't really leave anything. So, you know, give what you can. And
we would really appreciate it. And I know Chuck and Dominique would also as well. And we've got a great response so far from the members of the History Dweeps family. So thank you all very much for your generosity.
And we apologize for, you know, this podcast, because it would have been better with Chuck, but we wanted to get something out, and we're not sure when he'll be back, because he's kind of taking care of helping
family.
Them take care of things.
Absolutely.
So we do the best we can.
We may be without him next week. We don't know, but we'll certainly try to get a podcast out.
Sure.
Thank you all for your generous donations on Patreon. Thank you all for your support. I love you, Mom. And Lady Beverly, we love you. Join us again. You can find us on Facebook at History Dweeves, the podcast group. You can find us on Twitter at History Dweeves 1, or you can follow Brandy at Brandy Vennay. That's Brandy V-E-N-N-A. Or you can follow the Colonel at Hawk Walters on Twitter. You can find us on almost all the podcast apps.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you all real soon. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.